aka Mummy Imperfect, and you're listening to the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect, the podcast that celebrates and explores motherhood, sisterhood, and womanhood, and gets into the nitty-gritty of the things that are concerning us: politics, fashion, health, culture, and family life. Hope you're all doing good. I'm doing okay. The summer holidays are looming, which is scaring me a bit, if I'm honest. We had this summer all planned out, right? So we were supposed to be going to my cousin's wedding in America, which has now been postponed to next year, as a lot of people's weddings have. And that would have been a really nice break. You know, now the prospect of 6 weeks with the kids all being at home with no set work or structure and nothing much open, and you don't know what you can do and can't do or where you can go and who's allowed to come over and all that kind of stuff, it's still all up in the air. So it's just quite daunting, you know? I hope it's not going to be summer holidays instead of summer holidays. But anyway, I think that is another topic for another podcast. Let's just forget about that for now. But before we get into today's topic, I just wanted to talk to you about something random for a minute. I was scrolling through Facebook the other day, which some days I find a bit boring these days, if I'm honest. But I stumbled across this video of Katie Price and her son Junior's 15th birthday celebration. I was at first mesmerized by what Katie Price had done to her face. Like, she was actually pretty, naturally pretty, but I think she's got some kind of obsession with doing random surgeries to her face. But anyway, it's a lot what she's done. But in the video, she leads her son Junior inside a house, which he's decorated, and her other kids are there singing happy birthday. And then Harvey, her eldest son, who has disability, and he's totally or partially blind, but he was playing happy birthday on the keyboard, which is really sweet. And one thing that stood out to me was that her son Junior, whose 15th birthday it was, like, he was just so loving to her, the other kids, and also Harvey, his older brother, half-brother, you know? And the way that he was behaving, like a lot of 15-year-old boys I see, they don't do that, just the level of affection and love that he was showing. And you know, I just think that Katie Price does get quite a lot of bad press as a mother. Like, she's got a lot of haters, but I just think that she's doing something right, because you can tell that she just genuinely loves her kids. And also, you know, that kind of behavior is learned behavior of how to treat somebody and how to show, to just express yourself and be loving and affectionate. So anyway, I just thought that was really cute, and I just wanted to share that with you. So let's get into today's topic: family pets. Yes, a puppy is not just for lockdown, it is for life, right? Now, if you are a parent, you may have had the question, please can we have a pet? Please, 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 please. Now, some of you may have given in. Please let me know how that's going. No, seriously, I need to know, because this week, right, I went to the pet shop and the aquarium to get a fish tank for Mini Me 2, my middle daughter. I'm finally giving in. Actually, the truth is, I want my kids to have that experience of having a pet. I really do. I think it's a lovely thing to have the companionship of an animal and the responsibility of caring for them, in theory. So I used to beg for a pet when I was younger, me and my sisters. My parents said no, that it was a big responsibility. And my dad, he had tons of pets when he was a boy growing up in India. He had so many good and funny stories about them. But he said that his mum was always home and the pets were outside, and, you know, there was no one to care for a pet in our house. Everybody was at work and school. And then I think he felt a bit sorry for us. So he brought some budgies home for me and my sister. My little sister, the animal lover, wasn't born then. So me and my middle sister were actually scared stiff of the budgies. I had to clean the cage and I was scared out of my mind. We didn't even let the budgies fly around, which is so bad, you know, because we were just too scared. And I was scared of dogs too. You know, I was scared of a lot of animals because I hadn't been exposed to them much. Anyway, so one budgie died. And to this day, my dad says that we killed it with neglect. But seriously, we didn't, because we fed them, we cleaned them and stuff. And then we gave the other one away to my dad's friend who had an aviary. So that was our little episode with pets, and that was it really. And then when we got older, my dad bought a fish tank, but it was very much his fish tank, and I was never really a fan of that fish tank. I'm still not. Now, my kids have been asking for a pet for a while. Before, we lived in a flat and there was no room, so that was the excuse. And now we have the room, plus I want them to have the experience of having a pet. So these are some of the things I've considered and things that are considered good family pets. Top of the list is hamster. So this is apparently the top starter pet because it's pretty easy to look after and cute, except I don't think it's cute. To me, it looks like vermin. And plus, when we lived in the flat, our neighbours downstairs had a hamster that escaped and it turned up on another floor in somebody's kitchen. And those people were freaked out because they thought it was a rat. So they kind of trapped it in a bucket. And then it just came about that it was the escaped hamster who went down the pipes. And just honestly, no. So the other one is turtles. I thought about turtles. I saw some cute ones in a pet shop because we've always been good. We go to pet shops whenever my kids kind of force me into it because I want to look at the pets and just try and get one, basically. But anyway, they were cute and all that, you know, their little tank and everything was quite cute to see them swimming around. But they get big. They get big, you know. They don't stay cute forever. And also, if you touch the shell, you can potentially get salmonella poisoning. Like if you touch the shell and then put things in your mouth, which let's face it, my kids are so going to do that. Tortoises. Now, I think that they are harder to keep alive than you would think. And we are the kind of family who kills plants. So no. Rabbits, they poo a lot and they can be nervous about little kids handling them. Plus, they live a really long time. So if you're not sure about them, which I'm not, it's probably best not to get them. And that's the thing with hamsters, again, that a lot of people get them because they're like, oh, well, it's a starter pet. They'll be dead in a year. Guinea pigs. Now, they poo a lot as well. They squeak a lot. The cage stinks. I don't even know where we'd put that in our house. Plus, they just look like glorified rats to me. Rats, just no. So I've seen my sister's rats and she loved them and said they were cute and clever, but no. Snake, I don't mind snakes. I like them, actually, but it's the food that puts me off. I don't really want to keep dead mice in my house. Lizards, that's another one. Now, you have to feed them live crickets, which I don't mind. You know, insects I can handle, dead mice, no. But they just seem a little bit boring. And just, they're not cuddly, really, are they? Cats. Now, cats are the ideal pet in the sense that they are warm and furry to can cuddle up to you. You can feed them, play with them a bit when they're kittens. But something about them, to me, they just seem sly and aloof and their eyes freak me out a little bit. Nah, I'm not a cat person. Fish, also a bit boring, but I have said yes to a tropical fish tank now and I put the order in. You know, me and Minnie Me Too have discussed the types of fish she wants. She's done all the research. But let me tell you, it is not easy. It's not in the films where you bring home a goldfish in a plastic bag from the fair and then just put them into a random glass bowl that you happen to have lying around. No, you've got to set the tank up first, put the water in, set the pH level for a few weeks. Yeah, decide whether you want tropical fish or cold water fish. Introduce them a few at a time. You have to clean the tank. It's a mission. It's basically science. But then, you know, it's good for kids to learn and be responsible and stuff. And let's see how it goes. Now, dogs. This is what we really want. And by me, I mean my daughters and me. My husband is dead set against it. He doesn't even like animals, actually. Now, can you believe I actually used to be scared of dogs? I once got chased down the street by a Jack Russell when I was 18. I had to go into a shop to hide. I didn't want my kids to be scared of dogs too, so I basically faked that I wasn't scared. And you know that saying, fake it till you make it. Well, that's what I did. So now my kids love dogs and I love dogs and we really want one. I'm not the only one. Here's Rummy.
Hello, my name is Rummy, and you may know me from previous episodes of the Sisterhood of Mummy Imperfect. We are now seriously considering getting a puppy. We've recently moved house and are settled now, and so we've promised the children, who are beyond excited, that we would get a puppy. And I think it's a great way of just coming out of lockdown. I think it's been a really tough few months. We've decided on a puppy as opposed to a rescue dog, simply because I want the dog to grow up with the children around it. I just feel it's a little bit safer that way. We all have different criteria. So I would like a dog that doesn't smell, and my husband would like a dog that needs about an hour of exercise, not any more than that, just because we want to be able to keep up with the dog's exercise needs. I think that's only fair. And I think my girls would love a dog that they can sort of, you know, dress up in hairbands and things like that. So lots of different criteria. But at the moment, we're looking at a Basenji, a Manchester Terrier, And I think there's a few others as well. I think my husband would love a staffy. I'm not so sure. Just, I think they look a bit mean, but I know they're supposed to be the nanny dog. So yeah, we're still considering all of those. Don't really have any concerns apart from just being able to keep up with the dog and you know, finding the breed that's right for us that would fit into the family.
Thanks, Roms. So Basenjis are supposed to be very clean, dignified dogs. They don't bark. They actually yodel. They make this weird yodeling sound instead. But I didn't actually know what Manchester Terriers were. But after I heard Romy's voice note, I looked them up. And they're kind of like a smaller version of a Doberman, but just very different in personality. And I don't know if she knows, I'm gonna have to talk to her, that they actually like hunting rats and other vermin, because I think that's what they were bred for originally. And so, you know, you may find them bringing home dead mice or dead squirrels or that kind of thing. I don't know if she's prepared for that. But anyway, everything that Romy said is good in theory, but practically, how much work is involved in having a pet dog? Now, earlier today, I caught up with Isha Arthanayaka. You may have heard her husband Nihal on radio before. But anyway, they have a dog, a pet dog, a staffy. And sadly, this is their second dog, because the first dog passed away after 14 years of being with them. But I spoke to Isha about dogs, of course, and how she's never been able to keep pet fish alive, and also about getting a puppy during lockdown. Have a listen.
The reason for me talking about this is because, you know, no one's really going anywhere this summer.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that kind of had in their minds, oh, you know, I really want a pet, and the kids are like, we want a pet. Now they're like, oh, well, maybe this summer we'll get a dog or a cat or some pet, so that we can just concentrate on the pet and, you know, the kids will be happy. Now, it sounds lovely, but then from you, because, you know, you have had your experienced dog owner, I would say, like, what is it really like? 100% real? How hard is it?
Well, I mean, I can't even talk to you properly because she's looking for her treats. Where is she? There, she's looking for her treats. You can see her. So it's basically, it's having another child. So you've got to look at it as, am I ready to have another child? And not only are you ready to have another child, are you ready to have another child that never grows up and will always depend on you to do everything for them? They'll never be able to feed themselves. They'll never be able to look after themselves. And dogs are great. Dogs are wonderful, because, you know, she is a wonderful support, and she's been a real kind of great source of joy for our family. But it is a lot of sacrifice. Like, I was getting up 3 times a night and taking her out to the toilet for the first 2 weeks of her life. And she has showers with me every night because she goes out to the park and she plays with all the dogs and she gets really dirty. And she ends up, you know, and so I have to give her a bath every night along, like, you know, my children bathe themselves. So now I've got another child that I've got to bathe. It's a commitment. It's a living creature, and it's great, like, to have them, because, you know, you have this kind of vision of dogs that, like, sit there and play and jump around and you're, but they, she stops. She's trying to knock it over. She sleeps for 15 hours a day.
Hello.
It's Lyra. She sleeps for 15 hours a day, 12 of which are on my bed, if she can help it. You know, it's just a lot of work. She bites because she gets her teeth. She's getting her teeth in. So she's chewed all sorts of things. She's started chewing my husband's trainers, which will be the death of her.
He's got good trainers. So, yeah,
really good trainers. It's, you know, and you've got to constantly watch them. Yesterday, she has chewed a pencil, and, you know, it's dangerous. She chews, like, things like onions are toxic to dogs. So when I'm cooking, I have to make sure if I drop anything, I pick it up. Like, you just have to be on top of it every single minute of every single day. Now, if you're willing to do that, the joy that they bring you out, for me, outweighs it. But that's not the case for everyone. It's not these TV shows that you see this dog sitting and waiting for you as you get off the train, and they're these all, you know, this one's pretty stupid at times.
You see that, don't you? You're like in the family picture that people have in their mind. It's like, we're going to be sitting by the fireside. The dog's going to be there. It's all going to be so cozy.
Yeah, and it is for about 3 seconds. And after that, it's, you know, running. And, you know, when we first got her, when they don't sleep enough, they get really cranky. So they get really bitey and growly. And she was going for my daughter, because my daughter would get in her face. And she'd literally go, get out my face, and go. And obviously she didn't hurt her, because she was a little puppy. But, you know, it's training. You have to train them. I train her every day. We practice every day, sitting, staying, walking on a lead, you know, all those things, giving her stop, see, giving her her food and getting her to wait. I spend a lot of time training her so that when she does get older, I don't know if you ever met our dog that passed away. She was really, really well trained, but that took a lot out of her, see.
the whole hand.
Yeah, the whole hand. See, the whole hand, you carnivore. So, you know, it's wonderful, but I'm really nervous about all these people who are getting like lockdown puppies, because when life goes back to normal and you've got to leave them at home and they're bored and they don't have any sort of outlet, are you ready to go? Okay, you go run off. They're going to destroy your house. I spend once a week creating like filling dog toys with food, so that when we leave her, she's got things to eat and keep her occupied. There's lots of things that I buy for her that make her work for her food, which means that she's using her brain, which means that she gets tired, which means she sleeps a lot. It's a lot of work. If you want to do it properly, it's a lot of work.
It's like you're a parent and a teacher. You're basically schooling a dog as well as kids.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And it's, you know, when we first had our first dog, it was very easy to train Luna, because I didn't have children who were doing completely the opposite of what I was telling them to do. And so Luna was easily trained. This one, on the other hand, is really difficult to train, because I'll tell them something, they don't listen to me. They'll pick her up all the time. They'll do all sorts of things. Get down, that I'm trying not, you know, to get her, like, to train her against, and it's double the work. It's a lot of work.
I think some people are thinking, okay, because we have that 6 weeks of summer and we do want a family dog, so maybe if we spend that time, the input into the dog, then they'll be so fully trained and, you know, be toilet trained and house trained and everything by the time things go back to normal.
It's not going to happen. Toilet training can take anywhere from, I think, a month. I mean, we've had her from the time she was 7 weeks old. We've had her for 10 weeks and she's still not completely toilet trained. She still has accidents, preferably in our bedroom on the floor or on my son's beanbag. She still has accidents. So that's 10 weeks. She is, there's still, you won't get a dog that's fully trained for about a year. It takes a year.
So still do wheeze and poos in the house?
Yeah, you could still have accidents all the time. Like, that's what I found. I mean, I'm not a dog trainer, so somebody will tell you something different.
Yeah.
But from my experience, to be able to say she's fully trained where she'll go to the door and cry, I think it takes a year. You know, she can't even come down the steps yet. So if she's upstairs, she'll have an accident upstairs because she can't come downstairs to get to the door. So there's, like, you know, 6 weeks is not enough, is what I'm trying to say to you. Dogs are a lifetime commitment. So think about it this way. Okay, fine, you're there 6 weeks. You've done all of this. Then what happens when you want to go on holiday? What are you going to do? Now, your dog's been with you for 6 weeks, right? They'll go through separation anxiety, which means they cry. Like, she still cries if I put her in her crate and I'm in the house. She'll scream like a baby. Genuinely, because she has separation anxiety. It's a thing.
Then what do you feel sorry for her and say, oh, Lyra, it's okay, come out the crate? Or
you've got to, I count till 20, and when she stops crying, count till 20 and then go to her and let her out, because then she doesn't associate her crying with me coming to let her out.
This, do you know what,
it's having a child.
I know, but I would never think of any of this. And yeah. I think a lot of people who are like, oh, what dog should we get, they're not thinking of any of this either.
I know. Then you've got to think about the types of food you're going to feed them. So I feed her, I tried raw diet. I didn't like the meat and storing raw meat. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing or a good thing. It just didn't work for me. So I spend and get dehydrated organic beef with, like, you know, with vegetables and all sorts of things in it. Like, I can even show you some of the ways that I feed her. So I've got this. If you hold on a second, do you want to pause it? And I'll run and, like, so here are some of the things I use to feed her. This you've got to put in the
type thing. So, okay, you put food in that, yeah.
Yeah, and this is a snuffle mat, which you put food in, and she's got to search for it. Makes her use her nose and gives her a job to do. Right. So that thing. Then I take her wet food and I open this and I put all the food in here, so she has to lick through. And it takes her time.
Plastic snake type thing. Yeah, you put the food.
This is a horn of some sort of animal that she chews for her teeth. This is a maze that helps her eat and work. See, she's going to eat and work. And so then she's, again, using her brain and getting exhausted, because otherwise you get dogs that are too active, and they'll tear up your house. They'll tear up your shoes. They'll tear up everything. The reason why dogs get, and then people get frustrated, and then they take them to the shelter because they can't cope with it. Mm-hmm. So you have to understand that if you are going to get a dog, research it, research how much exercise they need, how much mental stimulation they need. So Safi, she's a Staffy. She's not the sharpest tool in the shed, right? So she's quite happy, stop it, with pulling stuff and, you know, with knocking things over and getting her food. That's fine. But if you get, like, a working spaniel who'll need loads of exercise, loads of mental stimulation, then you get, you know, things like a bulldog, British bulldog, which, you know, they'll have loads of breathing problems and they won't walk a lot and the heat affects them. So it is one you have to research. Why researched every single dog breed before we chose a Staffy? If you have children, it's vital to think about the type of dog you're going to get, how they are with children, because people all mistakenly get all the little dogs because, oh, they're so little and so cute. They are really snappy. They tend to, because they're tiny and kids are on top of them, they tend to be much more reactive. And so it's not a great dog to have when you have younger children. So these are all factors when you go to get a dog that people don't really research, you know, because it's like buying a car to a certain extent. It's a powerful instrument, right? And it's a machine, like, and with Staffies, for instance, if you don't have them, you know, socialized, they're amazing. Like, I would say always get a Staffy. If you've got really boisterous, active children, get a Staffy, because you can literally do anything to this dog and they'll just, they don't feel the pain. But it's just, if you don't treat and train a dog well, you are setting them up to bite someone, attack other dogs. There's a lot of things that could go wrong, you know?
In terms of, like, you know, leaving kids and dogs in the same room, because sometimes you hear a lot like, oh, never leave children and dogs, whatever breed, in the same room because it's dangerous, the dog could flip out, you know. How true is that? And I know your kids are a bit bigger now, but then you did have your previous dog for like 15 years, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I never left my dog in the same room with my children when they were little. Not because she would do anything, but because she's a dog. She doesn't understand, even this one doesn't understand what her strength is. So what she does to, like, say hello or to greet you very innocently would hurt a little child, you know. So you've got to be a responsible adult. I would leave my grown children with this dog now because they're much bigger and there's nothing she could do to really hurt them, right? But I would never ever, we had, you know, friends, not friends, but Nihal's cousin was over with her little ones. I wouldn't let them, when the dog was out, I'd say pick up the babies. They were like, you know, because out in the garden, they're running around, she's running around, she just runs past them and knocks them over. So it's, you know, you just have to be intelligent and switched on. It takes a lot of thinking and brain work. So if you're not ready for that, don't do it. Don't do it, because a dog is a lot more work than anyone ever tells you, you know, it is. And especially if you've got young children, it's a hell of a lot of work. Like, I would have never got Luna when my children were tiny, because I couldn't, I personally couldn't have managed it. Some people can, but I couldn't have, you know.
So Luca, your first dog, and you got her before you had kids, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 years before. So she was trained, she was relaxed. I didn't have to worry about it, you know, and she was really good. She was, you know, she was excellent. I didn't have to, you know, do anything with her. And that's the other thing that's really, really important. If you're going to get a dog, and this is the thing that really upsets me about a lot of people that get dogs. If you don't have children, right, you decide, okay, we're going to get a dog. Then don't, when you do have children, make that dog a second class citizen in your house. Like, because that is a surefire way of getting a dog to resent a newborn baby or a new addition to the house. Like with Luna, before I brought my son home, his socks were brought home so she could smell him, so that when he came to the house, she knew his scent. And when I used to feed him, she used to sit on my lap and lay across me, and I used to lay him on top of her, and I used to be feeding him. You know, she was very much a part of the family, you know, and that's the thing. For me, I don't, like, my dog is like my child and my family, and Luna was like a child to us, Lyra is a child to us. So if these are the things, that how are you going to treat your dog? Are you going to treat them like a dog that lives outside and is there to do so, or are you going to have them as part of the family? And if you're going to have the part of the family, you've got to get used to having loads of dog hairs everywhere. You're going to have to get used to, you know, having things chewed up. You're going to have to get used to a lot of, you know, things that might annoy you, you know. But, you know, having a dog, I couldn't imagine my life without a dog, ever.
You know, to be honest now, does your house occasionally stink of dogs?
No, because I hoover and I mop every day. Every day. And sometimes twice a day. And the dog has a shower with me every day. She sits in the shower with me, because that's my thing. I can't have my house smell of dog. It's just disgusting.
Yeah.
I've got this little spray. It's called Star Puppy. It smells of baby powder. So she has a shower every day, and I spray that on her, so she smells of baby powder.
Your dog probably smells better than my kids from the time.
My dog smells better than my kids on a daily basis.
Okay, nice.
So, you know, it's something to think about, Rena. If you know, but you've got girls, they and girls tend to be a little bit more sensible and a little bit more.
Well, this is the thing. It's the girls, like, oh, we want a dog, we'll do this. And people say to me, don't get a dog for the kids, get it for yourself. I mean, the only thing is, my husband doesn't want any animals, but I want my kids to have the joy of having a pet, you know? And now my middle daughter's like, oh, can I have a fish to start with? And I don't know, like, sometimes people are like, oh, have a starter pet, like something small so they can learn the responsibility. What do you think about that?
Well, it's not a dog, you know. I think it's, one, fish are really difficult. I think fish are really, really hard to have. I can tell you, I've killed a myriad of fish in my lifetime. And, you know, that takes a lot of patience and skill on a different level. I think I don't like guinea pigs and all that stuff, because they're up at night scratching the walls, and that just reminds me of, like, having mice in the house. I can't, you know, no cussing anyone or anyone's pet. I'm just saying, not for me, you know. Rabbits are cute, and they might be a good starter pet, but they smell, and you can't bathe them. Like, you know, I didn't bathe. I don't know anyone who bathes rabbits. If you're going to get a dog, get a dog. Like, you know, but there was someone that said to my husband that they got their children to go for a walk, I think twice a day, wasn't it? Taking like a stuffed dog outside twice a day for like a month, and they had to do it every single day, right? And then if they managed to do that without fail every single day, then they got a dog. So if without fail, not even once, you're not allowed to have a day off. You have to walk a dog twice a day. So those are the kinds of things if you want to do to give them responsibility. And
did they do it? Did they do it?
My children? No.
Oh, did
no.
that? Did that?
Yeah. No, they didn't. No, they didn't. So they didn't get the dog.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I could ask to borrow someone's dog. Oh, please, can my kids walk your dog every day? I could.
You don't even need to borrow somebody's dog. They just need to take a stuffed dog and go for a walk every day at 7:30 in the morning for 15, 20 minutes. And then in the evening, every day without fail. And that's really nice, because the thing is, now, you know, we walk the dog, and I love walking her as a family. We go to the fields, and it's great. Like, it's a really bonding thing. But, you know, if you get into the habit of doing it with a stuffed dog, when you have a real dog, it's going to be even better, you know? But it's just the discipline of it. I never got the dog for my children. I got the dog. I've always had a dog before I had kids. I got a puppy this time around for my kids, because they desperately wanted a puppy. And I forgot how much work it was, but it was great to have a staffy puppy, because then I feel comfortable having my little nieces and nephews around, because I know that that dog is trained. But if your children, if you're getting a dog for your children, you've got to make them do the work, realistically do the work. And dog poo is not great. You know,
that's another thing. It's, and also it's like, sometimes I think about the size of the dog. It's like, I don't want to pick up no logs. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't know. Like, I like Rottweilers and dogs like this, but it's like, I'm not picking up.
They're huge. Huge.
What, the poo?
Yeah. And the dog.
What, exactly. So I'm not, I ain't picking up no logs. Like, I want a dog who, where it's just, you know what I mean?
I think a Staffy would be a good size for you.
But didn't you think about like adopting? Because I know that some now these days people are very much aware of, okay, puppy farms, you know, breeders who are not following the regulations, and we should adopt these dogs who get left in centres.
100%. When we lost Luna the next day, my daughter and I especially really struggled with having an empty house. So we went to a dog's home, and we saw this amazing Staffy, because Staffies especially don't get adopted, and he was wonderful but huge, and the only reason, there are two reasons why I didn't adopt. One, because the kids genuinely had never had a puppy and they were really desperate to have a puppy. That wasn't, you know, but they would have been fine with us adopting. But the second thing is, for me, we've got neighbors who have little children who, you know, prior to lockdown would be in and out of our house. I've got young nieces and nephews that come to the house. I'm really nervous because of the breed of the dog, and because dogs that end up in shelters don't necessarily have the greatest life. I was nervous about getting a staff, because they're very powerful dogs. And so I was nervous about getting a staff with young people coming in and out of the house. We got her from a family who had the mother and the father who lived in their house, and they were family pets, treated really beautifully. We were able to go and see her anytime we wanted. Then they had another German Shepherd. Their house was full of dogs, right? So it wasn't from a farm where they were just in a cage and they were, you know, in a house. I would like to adopt. I want to adopt a second one, but I'm still getting over the work from the first one. So let's see. But I would never adopt another Staffy. I can't adopt a Staffy because I'm too nervous about whether I'll be able to manage it or not. But I think it's a wonderful idea to adopt. I think if you can, you should. If you don't have young children, I think it's 100%. If I didn't have children, 100%, I would have adopted. My daughter also doesn't grasp the concept of not putting her face near a dog's face. So, like, I just didn't want something to happen. Do you know what I mean? But it's a fabulous idea to adopt. But, you know, it's just like with children. They come damaged. They come with their own issues. They come scared, you know. Yeah. And so you have to be willing to be patient and give the time that they'll need, you know, and if you're willing to do that, then amazing. But don't just get a dog for lockdown, just like you don't get a dog for Christmas.
Let's talk about cost quickly. Like, let's be realistic. Like, how much does it actually cost to keep a pet dog?
A lot. Well, you're asking the wrong person, because I go and spend ridiculous amounts of money on my dog. So, like, all the toys that, like, I showed you, you know, those mats will cost you about 15 quid, right? Her food, the food that I get her, costs about 70 quid every 6 weeks. Then we've got the shampoos, then you've got the dog collars, then you've got the beds, you've got the crate, you've got the dog bowls, you've got, what else do we have? The toys. I mean, the toys. She's got every single toy under the sun, you know?
How about insurance and bets? And
insurances cost. So with Luna, we had her for 14 and a half years. So after 8 years, most vets, most insurance companies only pay 60% of vet bills. Dogs tend to stay healthy up until they get about 8-9 years old. You know, tend to, I'm not saying it happens all the time. Our Luna didn't start getting sick till she was 12, 13. So we weighed out, I mean, insurance, mind you, we paid insurance between 30 and 40 quid a month from the time she was a puppy. So 14 years of that. And then I think about $3,000 for all, plus the insurance, for all the stuff that we needed when she got sick. It's expensive.
Oh, wow. That is, isn't it?
It's expensive. It's expensive. And, you know, and that's, and then you're forgetting the cost of the dog. If you're going to buy the dog, like the ones that, you know, everyone wants are the cockapoos and the hypoallergenic and all that good stuff. Those are like, what, $2,500-$3,500? You know? And then, like, I mean, it's just, it's it's having a child. It's having a child.
Yeah.
You know? But they never talk back to you. And they're so lovely and so cuddly and just, you know, amazing. So,
Just lastly, like, I know that obviously Luna was a big part of your life because you had her for nearly 15 years. And, you know, because I obviously, I know you in real life, I've met you in real life, but when I look at your Instagram and that kind of thing, you had so many pictures of her. And I know that when you lost her, how heartbreaking it was for all of you. Like, I don't know. Like, I know that my dad, he had a pet dog, right, for about 20 years, Alsatian, when he was young. The loss of that dog, the whole family, I think they cried for like weeks. Right? And he's never let us have a dog, even though we begged and begged. And that was part of the reason for him when they go, you know. I don't know what you...
Well...
Like that
when when Luna died, the day she died, it was pretty horrendous because she was quite ill. She was ill for a year, and you know, she was having seizures, and we had to make the decision to put her down because they couldn't control her seizures. They've always been able to control her seizures, and that day they were just like, it's just not happening. So when she passed away, we were all with her, and we all had our hands on her, and we were talking to her, and we were telling her how much we loved her. Yeah. I'm gonna get upset now. It was I'd never lost anything before, and the kids had never lost anything before, and we were all devastated, you know. And my husband, a grown man, he was crying, you know. But it's one of those things that, are you going to be afraid to love because you're going to be afraid to lose? It's just, it's part of life, you know. And the love and the happiness that she brought us, I would never not. I wouldn't exchange that for the world.
Oh, yeah. And obviously it hasn't stopped you from getting another dog, like you said.
But the thing is, I didn't want to have another dog. I thought I would really, really struggle. But I got Luna because my husband traveled a lot and I was alone a lot. So Luna was my companion. So I really missed it. I missed having that companionship. And when we found Lyra, we didn't have her. We didn't get her for about 5 weeks. So we had time to really grieve Luna. We had time to prepare for another dog. And it's great. I mean, I miss Luna, like, you've got crazy Lyra over there just knocking around with her toys, and Luna would just sit and relax, and you know, I miss Luna every day. But Lyra's great, and she's kind of helped us heal. But not everyone is like that. Not everyone can do that. Not everyone has that capacity to open their heart again, and I get that completely, you know. The first day I got Lyra, I spent crying because I was so upset because I missed Luna so much. And she was so, like, crazy. I was just like, oh, my God, what have I done? You know? But now I think it's an important thing for children to have dogs, or I really, dogs especially, because dogs just are just so lovable and they give you so much, you know? I think it's a great thing. I don't think it teaches them responsibility. My son doesn't do anything. Well, to be fair, he picks up dog poo once in a while. But
I feel like it's you. Really, I feel like it's you doing most of the stuff.
I do everything. But I knew that I was going to do everything. So I don't resent that. I don't pretend that anybody else is going to do it, you know? And if they do, it's a bonus. But she's my dog. So when she's curls up to go to sleep, she doesn't go to anybody else. She comes to me. And they're all like, well, why doesn't she come to us? Because you all don't do anything for her. I do everything for her. So, you know, but they play with her and they get lots of love from her. But when it's sleepy time and cuddle time and love time, it's mama. Not anybody else.
Everything that you said today is, I find it so helpful for me. And I know that people who are going to listen to this, because, you know, kids and they do want pets and stuff. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are thinking about it. So I just think it's, you know, thanks for being so honest about it. And it's eye opening.
Yeah, but it's also great. I hope I don't put people off of it, because it is great to have a dog, you know, but it is my whole life revolves around feeding time for the kids and feeding time for the dog. And when we go on holiday, I've never put her in kennels. We've paid people to come and stay in our house to look after the dog. You know, these are also expenses that you've got to think about, hidden expenses that people don't think about. And then if you're at work 8 hours a day, you need to pay for someone to come and walk the dog, because you can't leave a dog in a crate for 8 hours. It's inhumane. It's not nice. So that's another 12, 15 quid a day, mind you. So these are all, you know, things that you've got. And lockdown, you forget. I think we've all forgotten what real life is, because we've not lived real life for the last 3 months. So it's just, if this is not real life, this is not going to last forever. You're going to have to rush around for kids to take them to activities and school and all these things that are going to probably not come into play this year, but definitely next year. Mm. And then what? You know, and then what's going to happen to the dog? The dog's going to go to a wayside, like, you know, like another piece of, you know, furniture or whatever. So these are the things. I'm really, really sad. Like, we're waiting to adopt, because we reckon that there's going to be an influx of dogs after lockdown is lifted in
yeah, I think so.
In shelters, yeah. Because you don't have time, you know. You don't, and then we have to wake up in the middle of the night to take them out, and you've got to go to work the next morning, or if you've got to take them for a walk in the morning before you go to work, and you're rushing around, you know. I mean, right now what I've done with this dog is basically try and live my life like I live when kids will go back to school. So I'll get her up. I've got her in a routine that I will have even when lockdown is lifted, you know. Only on the weekends does she sleep. Like, she'll sleep in the bed with me, and then she'll sleep till about 9 o'clock because I get a lion. But, you know, otherwise during the week she's up at 7, she's fed, you know, she comes with me, she goes out. Like, you've got to think about all those things.
Thank you so much to Isha for coming on the podcast and just giving us a very honest account of what it is like to raise a puppy. And also, you know, the fact that when you do have a pet, it becomes part of your family, and it's very hard then when you have to say goodbye to that pet. It is very hard. I know other people who've lost dogs and cats, and it is devastating. But like she said, you know, it's very rewarding as well. And it does sound like a lovely thing to do, but that talk was eye-opening. And I want to talk to Rummy and see what she thinks after she's listened to that as well. But listen, I just want to thank you all for tuning in today. I hope that has been informative for you, giving you a bit of food for thought if you were considering buying a family pet. If not, you know, hope that you've just laughed at me and getting sucked into all the tropical fish, and at Rummy getting sucked into having a puppy. And we'll let you know how we're getting on. But listen, I'll be back next week with another episode of the Sisterhood of Mommy Imperfect. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy and take care of yourselves. Bye.